We'll just pray before we sit down, just to make those who sat down feel super awkward. Am I joking? Let's pray. Father God, we want to take responsibility this morning for our own learning, our own meeting with you. So we just invite your Spirit to come and speak into our hearts. We invite your Spirit to come and speak to us as a community. And Father, we pray that we would be more shaped as we leave this place in your will. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, I really didn't know what to speak on my first week because I don't really know you guys. I don't know what you've been covering over the last little while. I've listened to one or two wee podcasts here and there. But I was trying to decide, what do? You do your best ever sermon? And then I looked through them and there were literally none. What exactly do you do? So I just asked the Lord exactly what he wanted me to do. And this passage was in my Bible notes and I felt strongly that it was what I was supposed to speak about. I wonder if you've seen this picture before, the iceberg illustration. I'm sure you have. And it's the idea that success is what people see. That little tiny bit at the top of the iceberg, but that there's so much that goes on under the surface that leads to this so-called success. And we hear from all sorts of sporting greats like Muhammad Ali, who talks about that, that the fight is not won underneath the lights, but it's won, getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and running along the road. You know, success, the grounding of it is often in the unseen. As we see here, there's things like persistence, there's failure, there's sacrifice, there's disappointment, there's discipline, there's hard work, dedication. And all of that goes on underneath the surface before we reach this so-called success. And I think one of the people that exemplifies that more than anyone, and I wonder if anybody saw this guy on our next slide. Do we know this person? Did you see this guy? So he was at the Paralympics. He's called Ibrahim Hamato, and he's an Egyptian. And this guy, who's won a couple of silver medals in his life, this guy lost both his arms in a train accident when he was 10 years old. Okay? So he lost both his arms. And yet, here he is competing at the Paralympics with the paddle for the table tennis in his mouth. So what he does is he flicks the ball up with his foot and he plays with it with his mouth. And he tried loads of different ways over the years because he was determined that this wouldn't stop him realize this dream of being a table tennis player. So he tried lots of things. He tried to spit the ball out and it's a small part of his arm. He was trying to hold the paddle underneath from there. And he tried all these different ways until he finally came up with it. And although he didn't win any of his games at the Paralympics, he actually ran the world number one of table tennis really, really, really close with this paddle in his mouth. Isn't that incredible? If you haven't seen it, and I want to know I can show videos in the future, make sure you watch a wee video of him playing because it's something to behold. But folks, can you imagine for him how much persistence that took? How much failure that he met? How much sacrifice he had to make? How much disappointment he was met with? How much discipline was needed? Hard work and dedication. And all we see is the video that went viral of him playing with his mouth. But there's so much behind that guy's story. And, you know, it struck me as we think about it, I wonder for us as a church, in 10 years' time, what would constitute success? I wonder what would constitute success. Now, success is a difficult word, but what would constitute success? For me, I always talked about at the cathedral, well, if you were running an airport, success would be that planes land and planes take off. If you have an airport that no planes land and no planes take off, that is not a very good airport, okay? That is just a big house, okay? But I wonder what success would be. I wonder what success be seeing people come to faith every single day as a community. That would, to me, be such a success, such a blessing. And that's exactly what we should aim at. And it made me think, what are the things underneath the surface that we need to put in place as we pray towards seeing this kind of success? If we go to the next wee slide, we'll see if you asked a Hebrew person what constitutes as the biggest success, the biggest breakthrough, the biggest, most beautiful moment in your entire history, I think what they would have said was this moment where the children of Israel were led out of slavery. They were liberated into the wilderness and then the promised land. And they would have said that their most profound leader in their whole history was a man called Moses. And they would have said, well, he's the guy. And even in their prayers, as they long for a Messiah, they long for a second Moses, someone that would deliver them just in the same way as the first Moses did. That would have been their idea of the breakthrough. That would have been their idea of success, this moment where they were liberated through the Red Sea. But over the next couple of weeks, just this week and next week, I want to look at some of the things that build up to that success, that build up to that moment of liberation, so that we as a community can think about what would be under the surface of our breakthrough, what would be under the surface of where we want to go as the people of God. Does that make sense? Good, good. These aren't very responsive. I need amens. Okay, we want to look at that. So let's get right on to that. Let's think about what lies under the surface, and let's see if we can commit ourselves to leaning in to these kind of four things that would move us towards breakthrough. The first thing that I want to suggest that we need as a community, if we're going to see God's purposes released in these villages, would be courage. We need courage. We really, really, really need to be courageous. I'm not sure the church is courageous. I don't know if this church is courageous. I think we need to be courageous. We're courageous in some parts of the world, but I'm not sure we're utterly courageous here. And you know, you could say, what a courageous act where Moses lifts his staff over the waters. But there are so many more courageous acts before that. I love just this week, as I was reading about these midwives, okay, they're called Shifra and Puah, okay, these two midwives. And you remember that these two midwives are living in an incredibly oppressive regime under an incredibly tyrannical ruler called the Pharaoh. He is a real psychopath. You can read lots and lots and lots about some of the things that the Pharaoh did. But these two midwives were working at a time when this guy was in power. And this guy makes a decree because he can see that the Israelites, the slaves in his nation, are getting too strong. So he says to the midwives, when there's a boy born, a Hebrew boy born, you've got to throw him into the Nile. Now, these women did not have a choice. They were midwives in this regime. They had to do what the Pharaoh said, but they didn't. The Bible tells us that they feared the Lord. And folks, this is the crazy thing. The fear of the Lord is courage. Fear of the Lord is courage because it will always go against the rule of the day. And these women, they decide that they're not going to do that. That's courage. They decide, we fear the Lord. We just cannot throw these boys into the Nile. So they stand against the Pharaoh. I was reading just a couple of months ago, I'm sure you have heard about the NHS nurse. I think she was a psychiatrist or something over in England. And she talked about her faith to a Muslim colleague. Is this ringing a bell? And she sort of tried to encourage this lady. She tried to befriend her. She texted her some words of encouragement. She gave her a book, famous book called I Dare to Call Him Father, which was about a Muslim's conversion to Christianity. And she invited this lady to church a few times. She offered to pray for her, and the woman accepted the offer of prayer. And she was disciplined for bullying and harassment. And her appeal has went through in the last couple of months. And she has failed in that appeal. So she's been suspended. And it's really interesting because lots of Christians sort of came out and said, you know, well, maybe she shouldn't have been talking to her at work. You know, the workplace isn't really the place for that sort of conversation. You can't really be a nurse nowadays and bring in the gospel. And I loved it, what a guy from London City Mission said. His surname's Miller. He said that he finds it absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting that only one Christian has been disciplined in all of London for talking about their faith. Folks, you know what? We are not very courageous, are we? We're not very courageous. And if we want to see a breakthrough, it always is rooted in the courage of people to stand up for Jesus. You know, even when we go back to the Ulster Revival, what we see is children leading their teachers to faith. What a vision that is. That is the courage needed to move towards breakthrough. Here's the question. Are you courageous for Jesus? Are you courageous for Jesus? If you're not, why don't you get some prayer today and why don't you step into that? Secondly, what lead to breakthroughs are inspired moments. Inspired moments. So think about it. This mother has a baby called Moses, right? And she hides him for 3 months. I can tell you that is not simple, okay, to hide a baby for 3 months. I'm not sure we can do that. You'll know if Eliza is in church, all right? Very difficult. And she can hide Moses no longer, she puts him in this little basket and floats him down the Nile. But the really inspired moment for me is the moment when Pharaoh's daughter is bathing in the Nile, and she sees this basket, and she realizes that there's a baby in it. She realizes it's a Hebrew baby. And Moses' sister just happens to be on the scene attending her. And Moses' sister steps in this incredible moment of creativity, this incredible inspired moment, and says, "Do you want me to go get someone to look after that baby?" And then she nips and gets the baby's mother. It's an incredible moment of creativity, an incredible moment of inspiration. And folks, for breakthrough, we need these moments. You know, I haven't come in as the rector with all these great ideas. You know, you're not going to be astounded by this dossier I'm going to roll out. You're going to be like, "Oh, we never thought of that." You know, you're not going to be. But we are as a body. I'm just here to help you guys as a body to think prayerfully and creatively about your community. To think how we can be a light, how we can lead people into life, how we can liberate people, how we can father people and mother people and befriend people. And we're going to need those moments of creativity. And you guys are famous already. That's why I've come here, because you are famous for creativity with your Christmas tree festivals. We stole that in Lisburn Cathedral. Thank you for that. And wedding dress festivals and food. Was it food festivals? You love a festival, don't you? You really do. You know, we need these moments, but not just big moments like that. What about just those inspired moments when you're having a coffee with somebody and you say, "Hey, we talked about that on Sunday." Or, "Hey, can I just pray for you?" Or, here, listen, take this book. It is dangerous. Don't give them "I dare to call you father" or you'll get suspended. But you know, just those moments of creative inspiration, they're needed. Please bring them to me because I don't have all the ideas. The third thing that's key to a breakthrough is contagious faith. Contagious faith. Now, contagious faith doesn't just happen. We only have contagious faith when we're first set alight by God himself. That's how it happens. And that's why I want to really make space as we move forward here in Darlingstown for ministry and for prayer. Because ministry and prayer isn't just for people that have some horrible problem or are going through some really difficult season. Ministry and prayer are for people that want more of the Spirit of God in their lives. They want to be set on fire by him. And they want to bring their whole life into conversation with the living God. That's what prayer ministry is for. And I need prayer ministry as much as you do. So I'm going to be receiving it as we move forward as well. But this contagious faith, it happens in this story. This mother of Moses, does anyone know her name? Whoa. You must be the daughter of a minister. Jochebed. Yeah. And does anyone know what Jochebed means? Okay, God is honor. Okay, God is honor. Jochebed. So Moses' mother is called Jochebed. You have to search a wee bit. It's not in the passage that I'm talking about. But that's her name. God is honor. And she's living at a time, and we know this when we read the story of Joshua, because Joshua said, "Your forefathers worshipped idols." So she's living at a time when lots and lots and lots of these Hebrews aren't worshipping God. They're worshipping idols. But she is different. She's different. And it says in the passage that when she saw that he was a fine child, I love that line, when she saw he was a fine child, as if, you know, if he'd been a slightly ugly child, she would have just chucked him in the Nile. But she saw he's a fine child. But what I think that speaks of is that she knew something as she looked at that child. She knew that this was a significant child. She knew that this was a child that was born to be a liberator, was born to be something in the kingdom. And she took that child and she hid him for 3 months, but more significantly, she had him then for 3 years. Remember, working as the nanny for the Pharaoh's daughter. And she somehow, in those 3 years, was able to get into this wee toddler's heart and mind something of his true identity. Isn't that incredible? She was able to live in such a way and give an example in such a way that that child felt more at home with this bunch of slaves than he did with the royalty of Egypt. You know, that's what Hebrews said. You know, he actually chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, you know, of the royalty of Egypt, but instead align himself with these Hebrew slaves. Like, that is an amazing woman that brings up a child like that, isn't it? And folks, that is what my prayer is for us, that we would be people that here in our worship would get hold of something as we worship the Lord, in our quiet times at home, that we would get hold of something as we meet with the Lord that would cause us to step out and be contagious and would make people feel a bit like Moses felt, that they're more at home with the people of God than they are with the things of the world. Do you get what I'm saying? That is where we want to get to. And folks, if our experience here as church doesn't get us there, then we're doing something wrong. I love in Ezekiel's temple, you can read about it in Ezekiel 43, but in Ezekiel's temple, it says very simply that you walk in one door and you have to go out another way. Have you read that? And that has to be the way in church. I know we probably don't have the doors to do that here, but the important thing is we walk out differently than we came in a way that sets fire not only to our hearts, but the people we come into contact with. I wonder, is your faith contagious in that way? Finally, the final idea I want to share with you is that a key to breakthrough is favor. A key to breakthrough is favor. I want you to think about this for a second. We have this tyrannical leader called Pharaoh. Okay, he is terrifying, absolutely terrifying. He will do terrifying things. And he has decreed that babies will be thrown in the Nile. And the last person that you want to meet when you've got your baby in a basket in the Nile is Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, this lady, she sees this basket. And Miriam must have thought, poor old Moses is done for. And something happens in that moment where she goes over, or somebody fetches this basket, brings it over, and Moses, I guess in the sovereignty of God, it must have been like a cute cry that he did, but he cries at that moment. She looks at him, and she has this mercy on him. She has this favor on him. Think how bizarre that is. Her dad's just decreed that we boys like this will be thrown into the Nile. She sees him, and she experiences this sense of favor, this sense of, no, I want to protect this child. I there's something special about this child. I want to look after this little boy, Moses. That is a supernatural thing, folks. And I wonder, have you ever known this? Have you ever known this when you sort of meet somebody and you just have favor with them? And it's just easy to talk to them about the things of God. Or it's just easy for you to sort of step into an opportunity that would glorify God or something like that. That favor is so, 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 so important. And folks, if we're going to have a breakthrough in these villages, it's going to be that God gives us his favor. It's going to be that he gives us his favor, not only on our own lives, but with those that are out there. And folks, here's the bad news. Favor comes through prayer. Favor comes through unity. Favor comes with us walking in the will of God. And we need to do that if we're going to see his kingdom come. So folks, that's it. I have a dream for this church I don't know exactly what this is going to look like, but my dream for this church is that we would see people come into faith every day. And not only through our festivals, but through you guys as you go out into workplaces, into social places, into wherever you go. I have a dream that that would happen. And that happens when we step into courage, when we step into listen to the creative voice of God, when we gain capture a part of this contagious faith, and when we have the favor of God on us. Can we stand up? And I'll invite the worship guys to come. And I'm just going to pray for us as we think about this. So can I just encourage you, just if you'd like to close your eyes, and let's just hold our hands out just to invite some of the things that we've been asking for here. We just invite the Spirit of God to come. And let's just locate in our hearts what we need. Do we need courage as a church? Father, for those of us that feel afraid, that feel like we don't have a voice, who feel as if the idea of talking about Jesus to someone terrifies us, I pray for courage. Father, I pray for those that know what God's calling them to do, but something in us is just holding us back. Father, would you give us courage for obedience? Father, I pray for those of us that, Lord, really do want to listen to your voice, but feel like we don't hear you. Lord, we want to open our hearts to your inspirational voice. Father, would you speak into it? We know that every word you speak is a miracle word. So, Father, would you speak into your church? Would you make us creative for the kingdom? And Father, we want to have a fire in us, a fire of faith that is more than just enough to warm our little lives, but that is utterly contagious to those around us. So Father, would you set us aflame with a passion for you, with a faith in you, and fill us with your fire. Father, I pray your favor over everybody here. And Father, I pray your favor over those that they will meet. And I pray that this church would have a favor with all sorts of people in the community, all sorts of bodies and people. And Father, not for our own glory, but for the glory of Jesus Christ, our King. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray.